Okay, let's pray. Lord, may you be with us now. Open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. Touch us now, Lord, we pray. In your name, amen. Moderation in all things. Did your mom say that to you? Is it just my mom? Sounds like it was just my mom. Moderation in all things. According to the Bartlett's familiar quotations, Publius Terentius Afer, a Roman dramatist, coined this phrase. He lived sometime between 185 and 159 BC. So it's been around a long time, moderation in all things. As a general rule, it is a good rule to follow, isn't it? If you drink alcohol, you should drink in moderation and not drink excess, right? In the same way, don't you wish that we had a little bit more moderation in our country? Wouldn't it be nice if people could talk politics without chewing each other's heads off? And what is, do you know of one? A moderate Republican or a moderate Democrat? Where have all the moderates gone? Wouldn't it be nice? There's definitely a time and place for moderation. With that said, sometimes we need to be moderate about moderation, don't we? Just as there's a time and a place to be moderate, there's a time and a place to go a little bit ape, be a little bit out of control. Consider your relationship with Jesus. It's not only okay to get a little carried away in your relationship with Jesus, get carried away a little bit from time to time. It's not only okay, it's to be expected. We should get carried away every once in a while in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If our great God doesn't elicit from us a great love, which we sometimes simply cannot moderate, then what's wrong with us? If his great love doesn't touch us in a great way, then we don't get it. We don't understand how great he is and how great is our salvation. So here's to those who every once in a while get a little carried away in their adoration of God. Amen? We see this modeled in our psalm. We're looking at Psalm 84 today. This psalm was written, the introduction says, by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, were a division of the Levites. They were the doorkeepers to the temple, and they also led the congregation in singing. As you probably know, the Levites were rotated in service to the temple. They would serve for a while, then someone else would serve for a while, so there was a rotation. And probably this psalm was written when one of the sons of Korah was not serving in the temple, when he was off rotation and yearning to be back at the temple serving the Lord. And he said in verses 1 and 2, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." He's talking specifically about the temple in his day. "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." And note, the psalmist's delight in serving in the temple. It wasn't a chore for him, it was a delight. He described the temple, God's dwelling place, as lovely. And apparently from what we read of its construction, it was all of that. This is one person's reconstruction of the way that he thought it was. According to the accounts in the scripture, we don't know what it looked like, but this is his recreation of how he understood it to be. This we do know. According to 1 Kings 6, the walls of the temple were overlaid with cedar and the floors with cypress. Then Solomon had most of the temple, according to 1 Kings 6:22, coated with gold. And then according to 1 Kings 6:29, Solomon had figures of the cherubim and palm trees and open flowers carved on the outside of the walls. No doubt it was very beautiful. I would imagine that when you came up to the temple and you were worshiping there, imagine it was breathtaking. I worship, or I just step into some of these old churches that have the stone arches, stained glass windows, and that's the way I was raised. But I walk into some of these churches and instantly I'm just awed by the glory of God. I imagine you walked into the courtyards of the temple and it was like that tenfold. A beautiful place. But of course, the most beautiful thing about it was that God's presence dwelt there. As beautiful as the temple was, it's not nearly as beautiful as God himself is. And his presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And sometimes people would see his presence come and presence go. And how magnificent that must have been. And a beautiful place is beautiful, but a beautiful person can make even an ugly place beautiful, can't they? And the Lord is beautiful. The psalmist said in verse 2 that he longed and even fainted to be in the temple courts, to be in the presence of God and to serve him. That's not moderation, is it? That's passion. He longed and fainted to be back on rotation so he could be in the temple and serve the Lord. I think that's pretty cool. When was the last time you longed for something so badly you almost fainted in anticipation? Or the last time you longed for something for so long that you almost fainted in weariness waiting for it? The psalmist said his heart sang for joy to the living God. He understood that God was great and wondrous, and it was a privilege to serve him. That's not moderation. That's passion. I can relate in part to the psalmist. I don't yearn for an earthly temple as he did, but I yearn for a heavenly one. I yearn for a home I've never seen. I've shared this before. When I was 13, I understood at that age the world was broken. Things weren't the way they were meant to be. The world was broken. Everyone I knew was broken. I was broken. And I began to yearn and long for that home I never saw yet. For a place that's so much more lovely than this wonderful broken world. And I don't think since that day, since my 13-year-old days, I don't think there has been a day since then when I haven't longed and almost fainted for the courts of the Lord, for my heavenly home. Most days, it's not a conscious thing. I'm not necessarily aware that I'm longing to go home and be with the Lord in his presence. But I think the longing is always there. Romans 8:28, we groan for the day of our redemption, and how I groan for mine. And some days it's very much in the forefront of my mind. Some days how I long, how I thirst, how I hunger, how I faint for the better world that's yet to come. And how my heart sings for joy to the living God and yearns to be with him. How about you? How about you? Interesting enough, whether this is related or not, I do not know, but according to Numbers 16, Korah, now remember these are the sons of Korah, along with Dathan and Abiram, rebelled against Moses and sought to usurp him and wanted to lead the tribes of Israel themselves. When this happened, God opened the earth and swallowed Dathan and his descendants, Abram and his descendants, and Korah. But according to Numbers 26:11, the sons of Korah did not die, or at least not all of them. They were spared. Why? I don't know. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it says why they were spared, but they were spared, or at least some of them. God had mercy on the sons of Korah. Did the sons of Korah remember this as they served in the temple? Is this why one of the sons of Korah wrote this psalm? Maybe. We don't know. But this we do know. He had mercy on you and me. He had mercy on you and me. God, who is the epitome of grace and beauty, righteousness, purity, holiness, had mercy on you and me. We, the people that he has adopted as his children, get to boldly come into his presence. We get to crawl up on his lap, so to speak, and call him Abba, which again, you can translate as daddy or papa. I never called my father that. As familiar as I got with him was dad. I don't even know how, he's long gone, but I wouldn't even know how to call my dad daddy or papa. And yet, we can call God Almighty, because we are his children. We can call God Almighty daddy, papa, Abba Father. Isn't that cool? If our hearts never from time to time long for the Lord, even faint for him, what is wrong with us? If our hearts don't long for him and even faint for him from time to time, then we don't understand how incredibly we have been blessed. We don't get it. Moderation in all things? Not when it comes to adoring our Lord. Amen? Not when it comes to adoring our precious Savior. So when you are all alone with God, just you and him, sing and shout as loud as you want. Let it go. Dance if you want. It's you and God. Let it go. If you're so moved, cry. However God leads you, follow his lead. Just be yourself. Enjoy God, and if the Spirit moves, move with him. And even here on Sunday mornings, when we gather together, and we're all very proper and prim, we're all very moderate in the way we express ourselves. If you feel like raising your hands, raise them. And don't worry about what someone else is thinking. And how about this one? If an amen begins to jump up from the pit of your stomach to the tip of your tongue, let it rip like a good belch. Let it rip. Let it rip. Amen. Let it rip. And don't say excuse me afterwards. It's okay to let an amen rip. It's more than okay. And if you feel led to dance in the aisle, dance in the aisle. During worship, I probably won't join you, but go ahead and dance if you're so moved. As they used to say in Campus Crusade, it is much easier to tone down a fanatic than to resurrect a corpse. Feel free to get a little carried away in your worship. Feel free to get carried away in your adoration of our Lord. Indeed, as we look at the rest of the psalm, let's remind ourselves how incredibly blessed we are. And we are. We are so incredibly blessed. Look at how he just intimately cares for us. We're still in Psalm 84. Now we're in verse 3. The psalmist said, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Even the little bird we might consider insignificant, a sparrow or a swallow, finds a home in the presence of God, finds a home and is safe in the presence of God. Likely they built their nest in the stones of the temple, just like if you go outside the church here, you can find the nest over by our cross, several nests over by our cross, and the birds often cling into the stones of the church. This is likely the same thing that happened in the temple. And God in his mercy granted these little ones the privilege to rest there. If God cares about insignificant birds, surely he cares about you and me. And not just cares about you and me, but even the insignificant details of our life. He cares for the swallows and the sparrows. Surely he cares for us and even the insignificant details of our life. We can build a nest in his presence. where we will be cherished and protected. He loves us intimately. I find that amazing. We're just wee little birds, you and I. And God lets us nest in his presence. And imagine the things the sparrows and the swallows saw and heard as they nested on the side of the temple. They saw all the people gather during the times of gathering, those special holidays and the Sabbaths and so on. And they got to listen as the sons of Korah led them in worship and the people joined in song. They watched as the Levites did some of the things they did to ready the church, ready the temple, and ready the sacrifices. And then they got to witness the priests sacrificing the animals to the Lord. And on the right day, maybe they even beheld the presence of God. You and I, we little birds, we get to watch as millions of people across the globe gather together every Sunday. When we're here together, we tend to think it's us that are gathered together. It's not just us. It's everyone else in Platteville, everyone else in Wisconsin, everyone else in the United States, everyone else in all the other nations across the globe. All God's children gathering together today. We get to witness it. We get to be a part of it. We get to participate in that. Cool. Awesome. And we get to celebrate in the greatest sacrifice of all time, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we get to wallow in his grace. Pretty cool. You and I, we little birds, every once in a while we get to behold God's presence. You know how it is. Every once in a while God comes to you in that special way and you just feel his presence. Cool. We are blessed. God intimately watches over us and cares for us and uses us. Let's look at how he uses us, we little birds. Surely, as the psalmist said in verse 4 and 5, those who trust in the Lord are blessed. And then he went on to say in verses 6 and 7, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The Valley of Baca was a waterless wilderness, and it could be translated as a place of mourning. So anytime we talk about a Valley of Baca, we're talking about a difficult place, a hard place, a wearisome, tiresome place. Not a place we like to be. But the psalmist said, when those who trust in the Lord go through such a place, look at what happens. They and the Lord transform that wilderness. The psalmist says that they, those who trust in the Lord, in verse 6, they make it a place of springs. And God himself moves. And same thing in verse 6, he covers it with the early rains until there are pools. So when the Christian goes through those dry, waterless places, the wilderness doesn't transform the Christian, those who trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord transform the wilderness. Did you catch that? Those who trust in the Lord, the wilderness doesn't transform them, they transform the wilderness. By God's grace. And God himself moves. God himself covers it with pools. I think that's profound. Claim that truth if you're in the wilderness now, or claim it the next time you go through the wilderness. As you pass through the wilderness, it doesn't need to transform you. You transform it by God's grace. By God's grace. Is it any wonder the psalmist said in verse 6 that those who trust in the Lord go from strength to strength? God is constantly making us stronger as we trust in him, constantly making us more like him. And even when we go through the dark, waterless places, he uses us. transforms us, fills us, and so on and so forth. Most of you probably remember Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. She and her family harbored Jews during World War II. They eventually were arrested and sent to a concentration camp. That's the Valley of Baca. That's a place of mourning. There aren't many places that are more horrific than a concentration camp. And what they went through when she and her sister Betsy were at the concentration camp, what they went through was terrible. But as horrific as it was, what happened? If you remember the story, Corrie and Betsy led a Bible study in the prison, gave comfort to many, and pointed more than a few to Christ. God and they turned a wilderness into a place of springs and pools. They turned a place of mourning into a place of new life, eternal life. Yes, it was still a wilderness. It was still horrific. But if God had not sent Corrie and Betsy to the concentration camp, who would have ministered to the people in the concentration camp? And if God never sent us to the wilderness, if he never sent us to the Valley of Baca, who would minister to the people who are in the Valley of Baca, to the people who are in the wilderness? God can keep us from the wilderness, and he often does. But if he sends us to the Valley of Baca, it's so that we and he might transform it and bring forth new life. So know that if he sent you there, he can cause pools to spring up because of the early rains, and he can use you. Transform the place. So if you find yourself in the wilderness, don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Let God use you instead. Let him make you a blessing. How blessed are we? God intimately watches over us and he uses us, even in the most difficult places. We little birds. He cares for us and uses us. I find that amazing. The psalmist then in verse 8 and 9 asked God to bless his people. Then he concluded his psalm in this way. And I know I say this all the time, but I love these verses. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Any amens? I can only speak for myself, but verse 10, I would rather be a doorkeeper, a dishwasher, a toilet bowl cleaner in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Especially when we are talking about eternity. When I go to heaven, I don't care what my task is or where I live. It can be as menial and as boring as all get up. I don't care. I don't care if I'm just a doorkeeper. It's just enough to be in God's presence. And I don't care if I'm way behind everyone else and I got to look over everybody's shoulders and everybody's heads and got to stand on my tiptoes to see God's glory. I don't care. Just to get a peek at God's glory. That'll be enough for me. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Yes, it's okay to get a little carried away every once in a while in our adoration of the Lord. It's more than okay. Lord, you are so good. How can we ever praise you enough? Everything that you created is as nothing to you. You hold all of the creation in your hand. I can't even fathom someone as magnificent and glorious and powerful as you. I can't. You blow my mind when I try to grasp who you are. And to think that as great and mighty and awesome as you are, that you would die for me. A little bird on this planet called Earth. Amazing, amazing. When I think of who you are and how perfect you are, unfailingly perfect, you never have a hidden agenda. You never say one thing and then don't follow through on it. You never say half a truth and conceal the other half and so on and so forth. You are always patient. You are always kind. You are always good. Unlike we people who are sometimes good and sometimes not. And even the good we do often for mixed motivations and on and on and on. When I think of who you are and then think that you want me to be your child and that you have made me your child and that you love me as fiercely and protect me as diligently as any parent has ever loved or protected a child. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and how your grace makes us leap on the inside, how it makes our souls sing, how we find freedom and release in your grace, how we love your presence. And one day you will take us to be with you, and then our soul will really sing. Lord, you are good to us. We praise your name. Amen.